What is your most important goal? The number one thing you want to accomplish in life? A great marriage? A great job? A World Series win for your Chicago Cubs? Friend, there's one lifetime objective that beats out all the others, so stay tuned. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come. Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Every good sports fan knows where those seven unforgettable words came from. The late, great football coach Vince Lombardi. He screamed that philosophy into the ears and minds of his world champion Green Bay Packers every single day during the preseason, the season, and the postseason. And there was a lot of postseason for the Lombardi teams. He let them know in no uncertain terms that he wouldn't put up with losing. Winning and the efforts associated with winning were the only thing to hard-driving, loud-screaming, apoplectic, red-in-the-face Vince Lombardi. Right guard Jerry Kramer, part of the 1967 championship Packer team's offensive unit, wrote in his memoirs entitled Instant Replay how Lombardi would yell at the team about outside interests. You guys are into too many of your own things, he would scream at them during practice. You want to go off hunting on your day off? You want to play cards? You own too many restaurants and scuba diving stores? You're off making commercials and selling franchises. What we want to do is play football and win. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. Lombardi wanted his players to cast aside everything that didn't contribute to victory. Kramer recalled one shouting match where Coach Lombardi flatly declared that he would not be part of a second-place team. He would sell the players, he would trade players, he might even shoot players. But he wouldn't be a second-place coach. I've been in second place, he hollered at his cringing players. Second place is being a hinky-dinky team playing in a hinky-dinky town with hinky-dinky players. That's all second place is, hinky-dinky, and I'm never going to do it again. Kramer observed later that only Lombardi could use an expression like hinky-dinky in front of 270-pound football players and get away with it. Well, friend, what's the point of this little football memory? Right at this very moment, we're diving into something very big and exciting here at the Voice of Prophecy. This isn't a one-week series we're beginning. This is a five-week adventure that I'm calling your most radical decision. We're going to be exploring the issue of knowing God, of being totally committed men and women for God. Now, you may immediately react, Lonnie, we know that stuff. Listen, friend, I'm not sure we do know that stuff. The business of salvation and having a real relationship with Jesus Christ is sometimes desperately elusive, even to people who have been sitting in Christian churches for 30 years. People can tune in to Christian radio for decades on end and still not truly understand the rock-bottom nuts and bolts of the Christian faith. My writer-producer, David Smith, spent a week last summer speaking at a Christian camp for kids, and one evening he asked them straight out, "What is grace? Can you define it for me?" And he told me afterwards, they didn't know. Not one of them. Kids raised in Christian homes and going to Christian schools and churches, and this vital, fundamental definition was something they didn't know. Now, friend, I'm committed to nothing but plain, straightforward talk during these next 5 weeks. How do we get to know God, really know Him? For 24 straight programs beginning today, we want to keep peeling away the layers until you and I and all our listening family can say with absolute assurance, praise God, I understand the gospel message. At this very moment, I know that I'm in a saved relationship with Jesus Christ. So you see, this is where our Vince Lombardi football story fits in. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing, he used to say. That slogan was hanging on the wall at all times. Now, you and I might not agree with his philosophy. We might remember instead, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. Or the more common expression, winning isn't everything, period. But the singleness of purpose, the focus, the all-out commitment contained in Lombardi's philosophy is what I want you to hang on to today. Is it possible to say to ourselves right now, knowing God isn't everything, it's the only thing? Is it possible that knowing what God is like and then actually knowing God himself is the entire basis of the Christian faith? I'd like to suggest that this is actually the case, and the Bible states as much in the book of John chapter 17, verse 3. Listen, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's it. Nothing complicated. Nothing really baffling about it. 21 very plain English words. Let's say them again. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. One of the really exceptional books I've ever read is entitled The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. If you want your mind to be expanded during these 5 weeks, get yourself a copy of that book. He suggests that understanding what God is like, knowing about God, is the paramount challenge of the Christian. Misunderstanding the nature of God is deadly. Knowing him is vital. Listen to this quote. The decline of the knowledge of the holy has brought on our troubles. A rediscovery of the majesty of God will go a long way toward curing them. It is impossible to keep our moral practices sound and our inward attitudes right while our idea of God is erroneous or inadequate. If we would bring back spiritual power to our lives, we must begin to think of God more nearly as he is. Then just one page later, he adds this plain statement. Listen, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. You know, there's a New Testament Bible parable that corroborates this idea that knowing God isn't everything. It's the only thing. Do you recall the story of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25? They were all ready to go to the wedding feast, but only the 5 wise young ladies had extra oil for their lamps. When the wedding party was delayed, all 10 fell asleep, you remember. Then at the midnight hour when the bridegroom finally showed up, the 5 foolish virgins had to head into town trying to find a 24-hour lamp oil store still open. And they missed the wedding. But the cruncher of the evening, the sound bite we want to notice, is this one. When the foolish virgins knocked on the door, the bridegroom said to them 4 gut-wrenching words. I don't know you. Now, friend, we could discuss for a month the nuances of this story. What does the oil represent? Is it significant that the bridegroom came at midnight? What does it mean to be prepared all the time for the Lord's coming? Those are great questions. But the bottom line is those 4 words, I don't know you. Jesus very clearly states that to know God is vital. It's not everything. It's the only thing. There are world religions where your behavior or performance are the all-important ingredient. It's what you do that counts for eternity. There are other religions where it matters what you know. Having a certain body of knowledge is critical. You learn certain principles or facts. You need a seminary education. There are even religious systems where simply being born into the right circumstances or the right family can be enough. If you come into the world in the right place and from the right set of parents, you're basically accepted as being in. But listen, only in the Christian faith can we really say it's not what you know, it's who you know. Christianity has to do with knowing God and knowing his son, Jesus Christ. Christianity, more than in any other faith or system or religion, friend, it's built upon a relationship. Now let me make 2 points here before we close today. There's a difference, certainly, between knowing about God and knowing God himself. Some of God's worst enemies in the universe, one of them named Lucifer, for example, know all about God better than we do. But our challenge, our Super Bowl focus, is to know God himself. As Tozer would say, though, the best way to get to know God is to first get to know about him. What kind of character does he have? What's he like? What are his intentions and attitudes and emotions toward us? Getting to know about him is one of the key ways to get to know him. It works that way in all of our relationships, our friendships, even our marriage commitments. And it works that way here, too. Now, with that in mind, let's be aware of the greatest challenge and pitfall that faces any man or woman living in 1996. If knowing God is the most important thing in the world, if it is indeed not just everything, it's the only thing, it makes absolute sense that our enemy, Satan, will bend every ounce of his energies toward preventing that very thing from happening. The devil will do all he can, friend, to keep you from knowing God. He'll sidetrack you any way he can. Do you go to church each week? Fine, the devil says, as long as you don't really know God. Are you obedient to the Ten Commandments? Are you a good citizen? No problem, says our enemy, as long as you don't know God. Are you the kind who packs your head full of religious thoughts and details and creeds until you're a walking, breathing CD-ROM encyclopedia? He doesn't even mind that, as long as your head full of knowledge doesn't lead you to know God. Are you harassed and beset by sin? Wonderful, the devil says. Lying and laziness and lust and liquor store looting can keep you from knowing God. You see, friend, the devil will try anything, suggest anything, promote anything that will keep you from entering into a relationship where you know and love God. He's like an oily-haired salesman standing outside the wire fence of the Green Bay Packers training field. He'll offer you any distraction that will keep you from focusing on that one thing you and I are committed to during these 5 weeks. Do I even dare to suggest that our enemy will go crazy trying to keep you from this radio dial and this radio station during the next 5 weeks? He'll interrupt your life, friend, 1,000 times. Friend, our training camp is happening right here, every day right here. We're going for Super Bowl rings, so stay tuned.
That's right. Thank you, Lonnie. Friend, this is Kenneth Richards with a special book offer for you. We have a free copy of Lonnie's brand new book entitled Your Most Radical Decision. This is the full story that we're exploring together on our 5-week journey. It's a book you'll find hard to put down. For your complimentary copy of Your Most Radical Decision, write The Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, California, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Again, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Now here for a brief closing word, Lonnie Melishenko.
Thanks, Ken. Tomorrow we'll be exploring one vital question. Is God as good as they say? People sometimes serve the wrong master their whole life and find out too late it was the wrong master. Is God a good God? Join us, won't you? Remember, this is a listener-supported faith ministry. We appreciate your faithful contributions when you call or write. Until tomorrow, this is Lonnie Melishenko, together with Kenneth Richards, reminding you that it's always true, friend. God loves you.
Waiting in line at the bakery, I got to talking to a woman ahead of me. She was the mother of 3 boys and lamented how hard it was to get them to turn off the TV and read or play. When I mentioned we didn't have a TV, she was amazed and envious. How did we manage? What did my kids do? Well, I said, they read books and color and paint and play with Legos and dolls and stuffed toys and build blanket houses and wash dishes and clean the bathroom and practice the piano and play outside and get dirty. Most people think of TV as a basic necessity, like running water or electricity, but it isn't. On CompuServe, I've talked with engineers, writers, and teachers who don't have a TV in their homes. They obviously don't live in the dark ages. They simply made a choice. They found what works best for their family. Getting rid of the TV is not a grand ideal. It's not a magic solution to reading problems. But if the off switch hasn't been functioning well, getting rid of the set does work. What would happen if you got rid of your TV? Would your children read more? Would they play more? Would they listen more to what you have to say? For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is John McLarty.